Thank you for tuning in to She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong, a witty take on today's issues between what often sounds like an old married couple, but we're actually two psychologists who will hash it out day in and day out, looking at today's relationships, politics, and everything in between. Thank you again for tuning in to She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong. The doctors are in. Let's begin. Thank you for joining us for She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong. The Doctors Are In, a podcast. My name is Dr. Sabrina Khan, and you are?
Dr. Tombaqui Bailey.
Affectionately known to me as Bilal, and we are two Black psychologists who'll be discussing everything from politics to relationships and everything in between. Thank you for listening. Take it away, Bilal.
Okay. Welcome to tonight's episode, Hooking Up, the Blue Light Special. All right, Sabrina. So this is a topic we said we wanted to talk about. And this idea of, I won't say relationships, I'll just say
situationships.
Situationships. That's right. So hooking up. The blue light special. So Sabrina, break it down for us.
Okay, so let me come to you under the blue light. So just imagine the evolution of hooking up and what that really looks like. So I'm going to first, Bilal, break down kind of the evolution ultimately of what has happened with hooking up over time. So walk backwards with me to the 1980s. Where men wore makeup. I'm kidding. And high heels, Prince, my favorite. But anyway.
Nice. Studio 54 in New York.
Exactly. Exactly. But basically back then, you know, hooking up was pretty sterile, maybe even standard then. So one of the things that kind of was pretty common then were what we classified or known as one night stands. So a one-night stand might be you went to Studio 54 or you went to the club that night and you saw somebody. Maybe y'all got your dance on. Maybe he bought you a drink or she bought you a drink or what was the 80s? He probably bought you a drink. But whatever the case, you know, you dance a little bit. You have a little conversation. At the end of the night, you might be doing a little lingering. Everybody always knows that. And, you know, maybe you've transitioned to the parking lot, doing some parking lot pimping, whatever it's called. But eventually you realize, you know, I kind of like this person. I'm kind of interested. Okay, let's be clear. I've had a few drinks. You're downright sexy at this point. So I may now want to transition you back to my place or transition back to your place. So I may head on back, or if you have money, which maybe not then, but maybe you might go to the hotel motel Holiday Inn. Oh, sorry. But anyway, you might go back, you know, to somebody's space and then you all may have a moment in time or a one night stand, as we call it. So usually with the one night stand, though, Bilal, that typically is it. So you may have, you know, there are lots of phrases that go with it, you know, like hit them and quit them, or, you know, tap and move on, or peace out, shorty, after, you know, whatever went down, you know, get out before the morning comes, or my husband comes. I'm kidding. But whatever the case, you know, but usually it was a one night event of some sort because, you know, you felt some type of way. Maybe there was some type of, you know, sexual need for that moment. You handled it and you may have never seen that person again. You may have never exchanged information, or if you did, there was no intent behind it. It was like polite, I'll give you my number, but please don't call me kind of thing, and vice versa. But that really was kind of where we were, I would say, in the 80s. Now, I'm just going to move forward with you a little bit, Bilal, to what happens when the one night stand gets extended. Well, that's what we call the booty call. There was once a very poor done movie by Jamie Foxx called Booty Call. Yes. I walked out, in fact, in the middle.
I can't shout out that movie. I can't shout it out. Yeah.
Sorry. Shout out to Jamie Foxx, though, if you're listening. But we did not like that movie. But we all know you didn't like it either. But whatever the case, what I will say is
I did sit through the whole movie in the movie theater for that one.
I had to walk out. I couldn't do it.
I think I should have left.
Yeah, you should have. But whatever the case, that's when maybe that one night stand was so good, you wanted to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. So then this becomes maybe a regularly scheduled activity. And what does that mean? You know, no real defined relationship outside of we have this physical thing going on. So, you know, maybe it's I see you every other Friday at 5 o'clock, or you come by my house. Let's be clear, booty call hours, you know, after dark, after 11 p.m., after midnight, or as the, you know, our senior saints might say, anything open after 12 o'clock. Or there's nothing open after 12 o'clock but legs and hospitals. But, you know, whatever the case, the booty call was obviously a time frame for you to, you know, have your exchanges repeatedly. I don't know, Bilal. How would you define it?
Let me interject here. Now, you know, we went to college in the 90s, the early 90s.
At least some of you all that were older. Go ahead.
And, you know, some of us, you know, right, finished in a certain period of time.
Exactly. Some a little longer. Go ahead.
Some a little longer. Shout out to my brothers and sisters who take a little bit more than 4 years to finish college. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Get that bachelor's. Right. My voice went up. Get that bachelor's. Right. Get that bachelor's.
Right. Exactly.
No, I'll say, so I think that it's interesting us having this conversation. I think that everybody called it a booty call. But I think that that interaction, I think that it was kind of two ways that that interaction played itself out. I think at the booty call, like you saying, like somebody was just, it was a physical relationship, just that. Mm-hmm. You probably didn't talk to that person much. If you called them, you were like, yo, are you coming through? Yo, yes. I'm coming through, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I think that there were other people who, it was this, is a quasi booty call kicking it.
Oh, here we go. Folks, well, always want to add another lens on kicking it.
Here's what I'm okay. saying. Yeah, because you get there maybe around 10. Watch
before
a movie.
Booty call hours. Okay.
Watch a movie. You like the person, but you're not in a committed relationship with that person. And then you spend a night. Leave in the morning, but occasionally you may go to the movies. Occasionally you may go to the bowling alley, but maybe, you know, 8 out of 10 times you go over, watch a movie.
So this is the old school thing. Netflix and chill, people. But
yeah, I had a Blockbuster car. Shout out to Blockbuster. Right, I think there's maybe one in the whole US that still exists.
Right.
But shout out to Blockbuster. So, you know, Friday night, Blockbuster, get you about two or three. Mm-hmm. No. One or two. Right. One or two Blockbusters.
I was like, you had money, two or three.
Yeah. One or two. Like okay. I had to get my credit run to get the Blockbuster card.
Right.
Which didn't make sense.
Right. They want to make sure you brought back that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I do think that I think it was, you know, and it's the age. You talk about a 20-year-old, 23-year-old, 24-year-old, 25-year-old.
Okay, it's going too long now. But go ahead. Right.
7-year-old. But I think
35, whatever.
35-year-old. But I think sometimes people were not committed to being in a relationship with that person. They like that person. But maybe they don't like them enough. The other
this
thing
is
too
the friends is, with benefits type situation he's describing, but go ahead.
That, you know what? You're right. I think that's what I was going to say. I think the other thing, though, you know, in your 20s, you may be dating multiple people, though, if you're not in a serious relationship.
Go ahead.
All I'm saying, you know what? I wish we had a third person to help bail me out right now, because
You're drowning.
You ain't helping. But go ahead. I'm gonna just say, go to your next.
Okay, so let's advance into what we'll call the age of technology. So now the introduction of the iPhone arrives in 2007. Shout out to Steve Jobs and crew. And what we'll say is that, you know, these one night stands / booty calls have now moved online. So what does that mean? Swipe left, swipe right. Right. Translation. There's a way now for people to hook up online. So there's apps that kind of speak directly to that, from as simple as, you know, match.com all the way to Tinder to some of these other apps that I don't even know the name of because I'm not current.
You're not Apple.
Right. But exactly. But, you know, apps that are real specific. I even knew for a while that Craigslist, and I believe they still have this option where you can, you know, basically find someone. They put an ad on there and say, hey, you know, I look like this. I'm interested in a hookup.
I don't think like Craigslist is running.
Oh, it's still running. Oh, yeah. Nah. I just put something on there for sale. Yeah, I put something on there for sale recently. Some furniture.
Craigslist. Yes. Craigslist.
I sold literally my car on Craigslist not that long ago.
I'm not shouting out Craigslist. I refuse to shout out Craigslist.
Well, you don't have to shout it out, but the people looking for hookups are shouting out Craigslist.
What?
Because it's still happening on
Craig and them still surprised. Got their thing on.
Yes. So people are basically hooking up online, and some of these dating sites are subbing as hookup lines. I mean, you may put a profile up thinking that you're going to meet somebody serious for a relationship, but there are whole apps that kind of hide behind the, oh, I'm looking for a serious relationship. And then you meet the person and it's like, oh, by the way, I'm married and I'm just here to sleep with you. So, I mean, there are definitely, you know, different apps that kind of, you know, have the reputation of, oh, that's just a hookup site, all the way to, no, this is a little more serious. People are kind of interested in something more long term. But you definitely have those apps and things like that. And I think probably for the millennial and Generation Z, that may be all they know. Like the days of the, you know, one night stand, booty calls, you know, let's be clear. And then we're in a pandemic. People are barely even going out. I mean, much less where before maybe you'd be out at the club, you might, you know, find somebody and take them home. But, you know, our younger generations are not as social in person as they are online. So, you know, apps have taken the place of what maybe happened naturally in person. So, you know, people are on Facebook, they're, you know, sliding into your DM on Instagram or whatever. And folks are making those connections basically any way they can. And shout out to the people that have had tremendous relationship troubles behind these sliding in the DMs and all of that, because people are straight coming right to, it feels like they're coming in your living room trying to hook up with you when they get into your personal social media accounts. So you just have to kind of beware if that's not the method that you're looking for. But if you are, then it's an open free market for, you know, hooking up in any way that you want. So obviously that's one way, Bilal. Now, there's a way that I had to spend a little time educating you on, and maybe even our public. And that is, now I'm not even saying that this is even current, but what I'll tell you is that I learned that they have. So back in the day, well, historically, you can read in probably even, you know, the Middle Ages, that orgies have always been popular ways to have sex. However, the modern day orgy has really moved out of, you know, kind of this mythological state, but really moved into, you know, whole clubs that are kind of dedicated to that. I was explaining to you that I knew of a few places where I used to live before that were really set up for that. I mean, there were different levels to the club where if you wanted to go in and just kind of dance with the person you came with, or if you wanted to dance with somebody else, but like erotic dancing on the dance floor, not necessarily nudity, but just, you know, a little bit more than a bump and grind. Let's just say it was pretty clear what you were on your way to on the dance floor. So that may be level one. But then level two, you know, you could jump right into having some open air sex where people are watching you through a voyeur room, you know, a one way mirror or something like that. Oh, you know, we know that from our training, Bilal, but apparently it's also used for watching people have sex without them seeing you.
I mean, you got to sell one-way mirrors.
Right. Exactly.
If I'm making them, you got to sell them.
Right. So there, you know, there's that. And then you know, all the way up to private rooms where, you know, maybe you or two or three want to gather and you don't want necessarily an audience, but you want to be able to have that experience, you know, for multiple people. At one time, it might be two of y'all, might be six of y'all. Y'all may want to swap back and forth with swinging. I mean, basically anything goes in these type of places. So you have set locations that may be their total focus. But then you also have these parties that kind of move around from city to city or from location to location in different cities. So you have that option where people can go have an experience for the night. And really, in some ways, walk away anonymously. You know, you know, people tend to dress differently when they're going to these events. You know, maybe you wouldn't normally wear a cat suit and, you know, a belly ring and all this other stuff in your normal life. But you go to this type of party, you know, you're trying to entice. If you haven't come with someone, you may want to entice somebody. And then it gives you an opportunity to sample a menu maybe that's not typically available to you. So
you got
to
get your sampling in. Right. Gotta get your menu sampling.
You know, I mean, some of y'all like chicken, but some of y'all like roast beef too. Some of y'all like fish only. So whatever you want to try apparently is on the menu at these sex parties. I gave them that generic name, but you all know what I'm talking about.
I think the other thing you said about that too is, this recognition that within communities of color, this is happening too, that this is not just, you know, I think my initial thinking was, oh, this is a majority white community and culture. But hearing you say, no, this is for people of color, that this is happening in all communities.
Oh, yeah. We found a way to make it happen. Now, what we'll say is, you know, it's our event when you hear some trap music playing. Well, actually, that's not true because everybody likes trap music, except for me, probably. But whatever the case, you know, but really, we found a way to establish our own version because also, too, we know that many times in communities of color, this, you know, we tend to be on the late show when it comes to the openness of sexual freedoms and things like that. So it's often a little bit more underground and private and quiet. And even, you know, sometimes there's even judgment around it, you know, depending on who you are. So I think we are just establishing our version of that. And it's really been a way to meet the needs of people with maybe greater or higher sexual appetites. And yet you may not necessarily be comfortable in an environment that's multicultural doing that as well. So this is why I think that we've developed kind of our own for our own, even though there are obviously clubs that everybody's welcome. But what I'm speaking to specifically are clubs that I've known that are really primarily just for people of color. And oftentimes you'll see it in inclusive of, you know, maybe brown people or, you know, our Asian brothers and sisters who participate as well. But typically, you know, you'll see it a primarily person of color event, the ones that I'm talking about. And then finally, Bilal, we'd like to call it the rehookup, also known as the backslide,
aka the backslide.
So we all know what that means. Okay, so maybe back in the day, me and you used to get it in, and let's just say that it was good, and I remember, and then I run up on you, you know, at the grocery store, you know, shout out to Kroger or Publix or wherever your store is that you buy. And I run into you and I'm like, oh, I remember when ... And I might be in between situations ... And hey, boo, why don't you give me a call and, you know, let's exchange numbers again ... And then the backslide happens.
Yeah. So let me jump in here real quick.
Go ahead. I'll pass the mic.
That backside get you in trouble. Backside is serious.
Yes, it will.
So I think of the backside. It's like you cut somebody off, they cut you off, whatever the case may be. And then it's not a few years later, a few months. It may be 2 or 3 weeks later. And then you'd be like, hey, I left my board game at your house.
Right.
That Marvin Gaye CD, I need that back. Right. So can I come over and pick it up from you?
Right.
But I can only make it around at about 10 o'clock at night.
Yes.
So, but I need to get that Marvin Gaye.
That's the only time that I'm available.
So I have heard that backslide happens sooner after you end that ship you were just in with somebody.
Right.
You got a backslide about 2 weeks later.
Well, my favorite is typically I got an attitude with you, or my other favorite is I caught feelings. And when I kind of tried to tell you about it, you kind of, you know, maybe said something that cut me to the white meat. So now I've had to cuss you out and I'm kind of mad at you. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done with this. I don't want you anyway. ...
But
and then you call me a few weeks later about that CD, or you asking me if I'm frying chicken again. It's like, you know, I fry chicken every Sunday. So you like, oh, so I'm hungry, man. You know, I just got off work. So can I come by and get a piece of chicken? So you be like, you know, I always fry 35 pieces of chicken because I got eight brothers and sisters. So, okay, come over and get some chicken. I mean, all right, whatever. And then
let me give a shout out to Anthony David. He got a song called Cold Turkey. That's the epitome right there. Listen to that song. It's I think it's maybe 2003. Right. But Anthony David, shout out to that. Cold Turkey.
And to Music Soul Child, the song Buddy. Yeah. We'll talk about that. We won't put the word in front of it that he meant. But anyway, what we'll say is, that's what happens with that backside.
All right.
So I'm going to give you the next topic area, if you can cover for me, Bilal.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about this evolution of the hookup and all that. But I do think I know we're having fun. But there's a consequence of hooking up. And I think
I'm grown. Ain't no consequences.
I do think that's something to explore, because I think that there is this impact that hooking up has on individuals that we don't talk about. Like, we talk about the evolution or the fun parts of hooking up, but they're the consequences. Mm-hmm. And so one of the consequences is the emotional consequence of hooking up.
And don't be pointing a finger at the ladies, because this is where the ladies get a bad name. Like, she caught feelings.
Not brothers.
Blah, blah, blah.
Nose wide open. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, I remember somebody told me this the first time I heard the concept of somebody's thirsty or thirst. Yes. And I was like, you know what that describes? So I had heard. You know, I had hers. Right.
Exactly.
So, but I think there is an emotional consequence, because I think people think it will just be a physical thing.
Yeah.
And particularly if it's a, you know, repeated sexual partner or, physically intimate partner. Right. I think you have to figure out, you know, how emotions or what is the emotional impact that this hooking up, this experience is having on you or had on you. So I think that's important.
And one of the things I'd like to add there too is that, you know, many times, you know, I mean, the one thing that I think we forget about sometimes is that this is true intimacy, even if it is just physical. It is definitely one aspect of intimacy. And when you share that with somebody, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's almost like bound for someone to change their feeling about what's going on.
Right.
I'll say that, you know, to the sisters who may be listening that usually we get a bad name for that, for catching feelings. But, you know, at the same time, you know, women tend to be more emotional creatures. So, of course, we're going to necessarily be maybe more emotional about it. But I also think that it's real that, you know, oftentimes you can be compromised by this, especially if you find that over time you're starting to develop feelings and the other person is not. So then it can mess with you emotionally. You know, you could start maybe feeling, you know, not as good about yourself or feeling like something is wrong with you, especially if that person is not really interested in the same way that you are. Then, you know, people, especially women, will beat ourselves up about our bodies and, you know, maybe he didn't like the way I looked or, you know, maybe I wasn't performing to that extent. I imagine brothers below are saying to themselves, you know, well, maybe I ain't hit that right spot or maybe I ain't really put it down the way I thought I was or whatever it is. But I think people can walk away with some hurt feelings, even though nobody wants to admit it. You know, usually we go shopping or go to the bar, one of the two, to address it. But whatever the case, you know, there is a consequence there.
So I think this is the interesting piece that mm-hmm. I also want to share too. And I thought when we said, hey, let's talk about this topic.
Yeah.
You know, I think that particularly my context as a Black man, heterosexual context, I think that I'd be remiss on my part not to talk about the misogyny and the objectification that I experienced as a part of that hooking up process. Mm-hmm. And so what I mean by that, particularly, so I go to Morehouse mm-hmm. and, you know, you have this all Black male school. And so I think that I remember really distinctly was, you know, I got this message at Morehouse, like, yo, are you heterosexual mm-hmm. or are you gay? Mm-hmm. You know, as the only Black male college. So these Black men coming together, there was like, so where are you? You mm-hmm. heterosexual or are you gay? Mm-hmm. And so I think that at 18 and 19, 20, 21, trying to figure out, you know, how do you express your sexuality, I think I got messages of demonstrate that you are so not gay by uh-huh. being this hyper masculine presentation of yourself. Right. Right? So, uh-huh. and then dudes start bouncing off of each other. Uh-huh. Right. So then it was, you know, I remember we'd go out, you know, Sabrina, we'd go out and it was like, yo, how many numbers did you get? Yo, how many numbers did you get? Y'all got five numbers. You only got five numbers? Come on. You ain't no real dude. So then people start saying, you ain't a real dude. You ain't a real bruh. Right. You ain't. Exactly. So the next time you go out, you're like, all right. I got to get at least six or seven numbers. Mm-hmm. And so it was just, so now I'm turning this person into this commodity, a thing, mm-hmm. a conquest. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the emotional cost was that I think there were some real relationships that I missed out on because I was like, yo, I had to objectify this person. I had to be hyper masculine in my presentation. And so it meant for a period of time, particularly when I was in college, that we had commoditized, if I can make that into a word, mm-hmm. we had commoditized women. Mm-hmm. Mama, I love you. I'm sorry, you know, me saying this, but
hopefully,
but
it's real, Mama. Go ahead.
but moving away from that, having mm-hmm. moved away from that, but really, in retrospect, being able to see it, I was like, so I mean, we're just literally counting the sexual partners, as you said, conquests mm-hmm. to then demonstrate or this illusion of what manhood should be. And right. it's I call it this idea of somebody sending a picture of a fax of a copy of a mimeograph. None right. of it is real.
Yes.
So this other brother is telling me what it means to be a man, who he got from this other guy, who he got from somebody else, who got that from me, who I got it from. It's just this circular conversation. Right. And nobody's really was really investigating what it would mean emotionally. So for me, I lost out on, a lot of quality individuals. I lost out on being having an adult relationship. I didn't have an adult relationship until I got to graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it then impact these people who were thinking maybe I could have a relationship with this person, or maybe we could have my first adult relationship. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen. So I don't mean to take up too much time on that piece, but I do think that's something missed, you know, particularly for Black men and this and heterosexual Black men, this hypersexual way of presentation,
yeah,
which then meant this misogynistic behavior towards women.
Oh, I agree. And it's
really interesting.
And I think that kind of creates the beginning of the disconnect that happens mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. men move out of that developmental stage, really into, like you said, their first adult relationship. And some men, I think, spend the rest of their lives disconnected because they never really learn how to align their feelings and their emotions to their physicality. It's That's kind of like two separate things. And what's interesting is the wave of what we're seeing, what's happening with women now, in that traditionally women have been socialized, obviously, very differently and really very much the opposite then. Well, when I say then, we'll just start from the, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s. So women were a little bit more socialized to, you know, be very protective of their sexuality and to be very private. And, you know, you have to be classified as a good girl, and good girls don't have sex. Or if they do, it's with, you know, one boyfriend or preferably waiting till marriage. So all these mixed messages that women receive around their sexuality. But mostly, I think the message that goes underneath is it's not comfortable. You shouldn't be doing it. And you're kind of a dirty hoe if you are, kind of thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, now you see the explosion of kind of what's happening with this millennial and Gen Z generation of women like Meg Thee Stallion and Cardi B. And really for our era, I think Little Kim and Foxy Brown kind of broke that mold mm-hmm. through with mm-hmm. no, I can be a woman, I can be sexy, I can have sex, I can feel good about it, I can desire it, and let's be clear, I can go in that bedroom and take over. So and then the response of men was very much like, oh wow, I want a woman like that. Now I may not take her home, but I want a woman like that. But even with that, I think it's all the mixed messages that we send each other around how the other sex should be. And well, and obviously from the heterosexual capacity we're talking from, but, you know, I think with that, it's really created a kind of a new sexual revolution that's happened really with women. And now it's like women have pulled the Band-Aid, the gates open. And I mean, they're running down the street naked in their stilettos and thongs and it's all good. And I'm not saying at all that there is anything wrong with that, but I think it's just so different from, or I won't say different, but it's been such a transition, I think, from mm-hmm. even 30 years ago where we were and kind of, but at the same time, I still wonder emotionally, what does this do with that continuous disconnect of physicality from emotion? Because at the end of the day, in any relationship, if those two are not fully connected, there's just something missing. And I can mm-hmm. speak from the perspective of, you know, being 20 years into couples work, kind of almost 90% of the couples that I've seen, just switching gears for a hot second to my psychologist hat, you know, that the disconnect in the bedroom is one of the major issues that land people in therapy, because most of the time they're on their way to divorce court. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that's brought up is, man, if we were able to have sex like we used to in the beginning, then we wouldn't be here. But when you peel back the onion and the layers, there's always that disconnect in the sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I just think that this kind of speaks to where it begins. So there's a couple of other items, Bilal, I think that we need to talk about. And as far as consequences go, and one is just the straight up physical consequences. We won't even get into some of the terrifying consequences that come with the physicalness, but let's just call it what it is. We're in a pandemic. We also know what occurs in other public health related entities. Let's talk about STDs. Okay, let's not talk about them. But what we'll say is,
but no, you're right. I mean, that's a physical consequence, right? Like, you know, engaging in unprotected sex, multiple partners, that you definitely have to think about that. You have to think about, you know, pregnancy.
Yeah.
You have to think about decisions you have to make in that regard. And I think it's really interesting. And I'm making a statement. I'm not trying to put any value on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the availability of Plan B now has changed the dynamic, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. somebody says, well, I think maybe I got pregnant last night, or conception, mm-hmm. you know, it's happened. And so they take Plan B. But here's the thing. So there's this physical thing, but there's not a emotional or cognitive conversation. Somebody could just say, I'm going to take Plan B. And I'm not trying to put a value on it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it changes the dynamic. The same thing with swiping left or right, like you said earlier. So now I'm basing it, it becomes a physical connection and there's less of emotional connection. Because mm-hmm. I swipe right, I swipe left. This person said, hey, let's meet. We meet and then we, you know, the person has sex, whatever, whatever. So then somebody may say, how is that different from meeting somebody at the club back in the day and hooking up? I think there's a little bit of a difference where even if you're at the club, as you said before, you linger in the parking lot. You dance with that person to the end of the club. You know, maybe you talk to that person on the phone. So there was, I think, a different type of buildup mm-hmm. where I think now, you know, you mentioned intimacy a little bit earlier. And I'll say this as a consequence, too, is thinking about intimacy. I think that piece is gone, mm-hmm. You know, with more online dating, mm-hmm. you know, that I mean, you talk about the physical intimacy. I'm talking about the emotional intimacy
yes.
and just talking to a person, getting to know them. And I think that has been taken away as well.
Just one other thing, just to kind of rain on the parade of all of us when we think about it. I mean, the worst part of the consequences, I think, around this is, you know, some of us are putting each other in danger because mm-hmm. if you're hooking up with somebody and you have no connection to them, I mean, people have been raped, they've been drugged, they've been mm-hmm. left for dead. They've been beaten mm-hmm. up. They've been sexually violated.
Yep.
You know, maybe they've gotten into something that sounded good because I was really drunk or high when I agreed to it. And now I'm coming down and these two other people that I said were okay to be in the bedroom, I'm now, you know, waking up out of my fog and I'm not interested. So there are all these other things now that may become an issue that maybe because you were under the influence or maybe you were under the hype of your friends or whatever it was, or the hype of this person that was trying to engage you. And now you're in a situation that really you've put yourself at risk. So then, you know, there's the emotional consequences that come behind that, especially if you've experienced some type of traumatic episode.
Right,
so that's where it could really become problematic. And again, to use your point you just mentioned, sure, were all of those things possible when you met at the club or you know, I went to a cookout and we connected and then we hung out all night and then I went over your house. I mean, sure, that was always the risk. But I think, you know, in thinking about those avenues, usually there's some kind of, even if it's a second or third degree of separation where, you know, well, at least I know that Bobby was Sean's cousin or, you know, whomever was related to somebody or a friend of a friend. But I mean, when you're going straight apps, you know, you may have never seen this person before. You know, many times people say, well, you know, the picture they had on there was from 20 years ago. They don't look like the same person. You know, I had an experience back in the day where I went on a date with somebody from an app and I am 100% sure it was not the same person when I got there. Now, fortunately for me, you know, I tried to be as safe as possible about the interaction. We met in a public place. You know, I had my own car. He did not come to my house, you know, all of those things. But I am sure that was not the same person. And I even said to him, is that that picture didn't really look like you. And he said, oh, you know, some, I don't know what story he gave me. It really didn't make sense, but
yes, is what it was. Yeah,
basically. But I'm certainly was not the same person.
Shout out to Sister Sabrina for keeping her head on her shoulders together and not getting harmed in a situation where somebody was maybe trying to take advantage of you. So shout out to my sister.
Yeah. But you know, you take a risk. So, but I think it's, you know, with that, obviously, I mean, there's a way to do things even in this new age that are safer. And, you know, I think people have learned how to navigate and the rules and what makes sense for them and their body and, you know, what they want. You know, but at the same time, you know, we still will continue to encourage people to be careful. But I think we can't deny the final piece of this conversation, Bilal. And let's be clear. What are the benefits to hooking up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, hooking up is going to be here, you know, and as you talked about the evolution, you know, so they were hooking up in the 50s. You were about to go off to war, about to go off to the Korean War. Right. They hook up. Hook it up so in the World
War
II. Three
babies on the same block with three different people. Okay, yeah. That was hooking up, y'all. But go ahead.
So I think, you know, I think hooking up is going to continue. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, to your point, people doing it safe as you can. Mm-hmm. And you know, as you said, putting on a serious hat for those folks. If you've experienced the hookup and it wasn't your choice, you were forced into something, then it is important to seek out support, go to law enforcement, to get counseling, to know that your truth is truth. Your story is truth. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, so I appreciate you bringing that up. So I think we have to always think about that. And we know hooking up is going to be there. And so there are some benefits. There are some benefits of hooking up. I can't, you know, I can't deny it.
I mean, let's be clear. That drive is serious. I mean, for any... we can't even say adults anymore because you
see, I drove 6 hours back in my youth.
Right.
Back in the day. This is before I was married. Way.
Right.
Way. Exactly. Way.
Yes.
Way.
Same way. Way. That's right.
6 hours.
Yeah. I mean, people drive all night. They stay up all night. They'll be for 2 days chasing what is an idea of getting some. So yeah, with that, I will say,
or what's the little shot? The little.
Right. No doze or I forgot. I ain't
none of that. None of that. Yeah. It's loud music and windows down.
Exactly.
6 hours.
But, you know, I think, I mean, we can't deny the biology of it all. I mean, physically, you know, the need is serious and people have to have a physical release of some sort, be it something that you take care of for yourself privately or you share that with someone else. But I mean, from a physical aspect, you know, your body does need, I mean, there's a reason why your body feels that way because it needs to happen. So
physical creatures,
exactly. I mean, in procreation and all of the other things that go along.
Physical creatures.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. But then also too, I think from an emotional aspect, you know, people make jokes and a lot of times, unfortunately, women are the butt of these jokes. But, you know, you'll hear people say, well, such and such just needs to get a piece or whatever. But let's be clear. Don't we all feel better when we're getting a piece? But whatever the case, I think you can't deny that it's a stress reliever. It's for some people exercise, for other people, it's, you know, that connection point that makes you feel good about yourself or, you know, brings you some relief from a stressful day or whatever. So I think we can't deny that there are the benefits. And then let's be clear, a lot of times hooking up turns into other things that can be more special or more intimate. I mean, the amount of people I'm sure that's sitting up here, maybe listening, look, with their spouse or with their children as a result, that may have started out as a simple hookup.
You know, Sabrina, that's exactly the point I was going to raise. That's exactly the point. I think that there are some, you know, we talked about the pros and cons, blah, blah, blah. But I do think it, and I experienced before I got married, back in the day.
Yes, in the 60s.
You know, something that started out maybe kind of like a hooking up really evolved into a really valued and sought after relationship. You know, and so, you know, again, there's that immaturity, at least on my part then. There was something that allowed me to see beyond just the hooking up with that person. And we were able to develop a good relationship. And it would turn into a really good friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those things, you know, yeah. So I think so understanding the evolution of it, and understanding what are those benefits of it. So it's not all bad. Mm-hmm. And so really, how do you understand that? And having the maturity to deal with hooking up, because I think that's important too.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as adults, you know, one of the freedoms and benefits of being an adult is your ability to agree to, you know, satisfying what your needs are. And obviously, you know, hooking up for some people is an absolute need. For other people, it's a sometimesy kind of need. For other people, it's a every blue moon kind of need. But for the most part, I think we can collectively agree that there is a need. And as an adult, you know, if you're making an informed decision and you're safe and you're, you know, both parties are aware of what's going down and they're, you know, everybody agrees to it and we're practicing, you know, preferably safer or safe sex practices that make sense for you, then I say go for it. Go therefore and
produce.
For some of us,
produce,
right? Produce, release, have some fun, you know, get some sweat equity going, whatever. But
hey, it's called hook it up.
Exactly.
Blue light special.
Absolutely. So any final thoughts, Bilal, just from you know, if you would just throw on your doctor hat for a quick second.
Yeah, I would say I think it's important to recognize or think about what you want in these interactions. And so I think go in it with, you know, not eyes wide shut, but eyes mm-hmm. wide open. Mm-hmm. And so if you're at a place and you can emotionally handle hooking up and you know, very physically centered interactions with people, cool. Mm-hmm. If that's not where you are, I think you have to be honest with yourself. You can't say, I'm looking for a relationship, and this person say, hey, I just want to hook up. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you have to really, you know, be honest with yourself. And so I think there is some maturity that goes along with doing that. So I would say for anybody, just have to go in eyes wide open and say, mm-hmm. I'm okay with this, what I'm doing at this moment. And when you're ready for something different, then do something different.
Absolutely. I'll just add a couple of other points. I think, you know, first for the women, you know, women, go get yours. That's a very technical term. But really, you know, at the end of the day, if this is what you want, you're a grown woman, you know, you can handle yourself both emotionally and physically. And, you know, if this is your desire and you are not in a relationship, you know, then this is your business. Do what it is that you need to do. What I'll say for the brothers, be honest. Let's do some communication. Let's be clear. And that's really for everyone. Let's just be clear about what's happening. You know, this is what I want. Be honest. You know, everybody is grown. Well, hopefully you're hooking up with somebody that's grown. But everybody needs to be grown and able to accept kind of what this is. And you know, that's the thing is, you know, be honest about and know yourself. If you know that you're not capable of having a physical only relationship, go get you a toy. I'm sorry. Do something that does not require a full hookup in that that's way, right. You know, or if you're somebody that,
okay,
you know,
self pleasure.
Right. Exactly.
No, I think that's fine. Yeah.
And if you have a high sexual appetite and you want to move around in that high sexual appetite, I think you need to also communicate that because everybody may not be willing or desiring to be a part of that. But you know what? Sometimes if you just be honest and communicate, you may find the very person that you're talking to is down for it. And it's like, come on, let's go exploring. If we can get 37 going tonight, hey, you know, or whatever you want to do. But at the same time, just be mindful. And if you've had an experience that's traumatic, please go and talk to somebody, get some support, talk to your family, talk to your friends. As Dr. Bilal said earlier, you know, call law enforcement, make a report, say something, say something. I think the news has told us enough this year about what it's like to not say something. So,
yeah, yeah.
With that, Bilal, I'll toss the ball to you to say goodnight, wrap the episode, and then I'll give our farewell.
I'm going to say goodnight. We're going to wrap this episode.
All right. I like it. I like it. Well, thank you very much for listening to She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong, a podcast between two lovely Black psychologists. Thank you so much for listening. Good night. Thank you for listening to She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong. Please follow us on the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Spotify, and any other podcast platforms. You can also find us on social media via Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and stay tuned for our YouTube channel that's coming soon to a theater near you. Thank you.